sermon. This is the last Sunday of my sermon series on manhood. I pray that you have enjoyed it. All of our lessons are on the website. Ladies, thank you for coming out while I poured into men and for listening. Fellas, I hope your life has been changed. I've talked about several things as it pertains to manhood. I'll pull up my scripture here. It's on the screen behind me. You can pull up on your Bible, your smartphone. If you've been here for a couple of weeks, you should know it by now. 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man," somebody say, "when I became a man." Now, when I talk about becoming a man today, I'm not just talking about gender. I'm talking about man in terms of mankind because of this last thing. It says, "I put the ways of childhood behind me." I'm going to talk about the maturity of a man. Look at the person beside you and tell them, it's time to grow up. They probably already grown, so you just affirming who they are. But you've been waiting to tell them. Like some of you said, "I've been waiting." Man, let me say that again. Legion David say, "It's time to grow up." So let me give you a recap of what we did. It's on the screen behind me. The first week of my sermons, I said, every man needs a childhood. And we begin to quote the song, "Back in the day when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again." Y'all right there with me. Every man needs an appropriate childhood. When a man is a child, he needs unconditional love. He needs discipline. Some of y'all call it home training. He needs to be taught faith. He needs to be taught how to fun. Taught how to have fun. He needs to be taught to serve and taught responsibility. To become a man, remember I told you there's three things that every man has to do. He has to reject passivity. He has to accept responsibility, and he has to lead courageously. And today I'm going to talk about this. Every male, we just pick person in general, once he becomes a man, must mature. There's nothing wrong with PlayStation. There's nothing wrong with the game. But there is something wrong with the game when it's time to deal with the issue. So, ladies, before you go home, I told you, even pastor said you need to put that game up. That is not what I'm saying. It's the screen. It's the image up there on the screen if you wonder what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is a person knows what to do in its appropriate time. You don't do things as an escape not to deal with reality. Am I making sense here? Maturity is described in three words at the end of 1 Corinthians 13:11. It says this, "I put the ways of childhood behind me." Maturity sounds like this. I put away. Let's say it. Let's say it again. Let's say it again. What's the first word of what you just said? Here's the thing about growing up. Nobody can do it for you. You have to make a decision to do it for you. People can try. People can pray for you. People can do all the things necessary to do. But you have to make a decision to identify what is childish and to put the childish things away. Can I ask you a question? Aren't you tired of being a grown-up for grown-ups who won't grow up? Aren't you tired of being a grown-up for grown-ups who will not grow up? My big mama, I'm going to just start quoting stuff she says. She's like, "Big mama, wave your hand." She's 22. I'm 40, but that's my big mama right there. There was a lady, there was a grandmother at church, and she had a granddaughter here, and they were trying to show her how to walk. And Big Mama said something that was so phenomenal, that was just so simple. She said, "I bet if you put her down, she'll walk." Can I quote Big Mama 1 and 1 this morning? If you let people go, I guarantee you they'll grow up. Here's what I found out. We all love ourselves enough not to die, starve, and go without. You will be surprised what people can do if you just let things grow up. Mature people no longer need to be told what to do. We are now driven by a desire through grace. When you look at the Bible, the law controls you. It tells you exactly what to do. Grace is where you can hear from God and God speaks to you. We're all talking about the Ten Commandments. Don't misquote me. I think the Ten Commandments are great. I think we should live by the Ten Commandments. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. And people have them tattooed on their arms and all around walls. But here's the reality. Once you fall in love with Jesus, you get a relationship, you don't need rules to tell you what to do. If God ever turns you over to love, here's the reality is most of us really don't want the law anyway. You remember the lady that was caught in adultery, if you read the Bible? and they were there with stones to stone her, Jesus said, "You without sin cast the first stone." They all dropped the stone like they were dropping the mic and walked away. Here's the reason why. Under the law, they could kill her because of adultery. If you read the Old Testament, there's no room for reconciliation. There's no chance for forgiveness. If you get caught, you are gone. You know the scriptures that says, "Honor thy father and mother that thy days may be long on the earth." You know what the penalty was for a kid that didn't honor their mother and father after they went through a course of them not doing right? They'd put them out in the middle of the street, and they take stones and kill them. Some of you are saying, "Lord, where's that law at today? You can't do all that. You can't stone your little kids. You'll be in jail for doing that today." But here's the reality. You don't need anybody to tell you what to do once you know to do, because you want to hear from God. Do you know why? Can I vision cast for a moment? Do you know why we exist as a church? Not so I can just come be a phenomenal preacher, although I do love your amens. Not just so you can hear great praise and worship, although I do think they can sing. Not though you can hear just one of the greatest bands in the world, although they rock it every week. Here's what I want. This stuff is the tray. It's the platter for you to hear the word of God. My main goal is that you know the voice of God for yourself so he can speak to you and he can lead you and define your destiny, developing your purpose. It's on the wall, and discover your potential. What God does through love is he draws you to himself. And you know the great thing about God? God gives you a vision of what life can be, and that vision causes you to mature. You mature when you get a vision for life. Christmas was on Sunday this year, right? My 13-year-old self would have punched my 40-year-old self in the mouth if my 13-year-old self would have known my 40-year-old self was going to have church on Christmas. I remember when I was young very well, Christmas fell on a Sunday, and I found out we were still going to have church. You know how when you little and your mom call you and tell you come get something, you kicking covers and throwing stuff? I didn't have that same feeling at 40. You know why? Because my desires changed. At 40, there's no other place I'd rather be because this is my call. This is what I do. I don't have a problem. No other day of the week do I have a challenge getting up, but on Sunday. On Sunday, I'm ready to go because I love what I do. And I don't think every person ought to live their life that way. God gives you a vision, and you live by revelation where you begin to make decisions. Proverbs 29 and 18, that's on the screen. You can find it on your Bible, but I want you to follow along with me. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says this: "Where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained." When you don't have a vision, you live unrestrained. Anybody who is doing foolish stuff in their life doesn't have a future of what their life, doesn't have a vision of what their life could be. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law. What happens is God shows you what life could be. He shows you that you can have the world. God has given me a picture, even for me personally. You drive up here, you see the most hideous ramp that goes up to the front of this building. We don't have no vestibule. You walk out, you might as well just go home. Can't know where to stand. You just in the outside. Some of you, for the first time, when you open up that door, you had no idea. People just going to be sitting right there. You just like, dog, ain't nowhere to even look, stand, get myself together, nothing. Just walk right in. But when I walk out here, I don't see that. I see a fully developed area. I see parks. I see another building. I see a walking trail. I see, because I'm going by vision. And God gives you vision. And once you taste vision, man, your life will never change. I'm sorry to put my man on the spot, but I got my man over here in the corner. Antoine, wave your hand at him. Antoine's in the corner over here. He plays for MTSU. And I get the joy. Yeah, true blue over here. I get the joy of talking to those guys during the season. But Antoine, and they went to last year. They almost made the Sweet 16, MTSU. And Antoine had a monster of a game against Butler. He was a dude you saw going to the basket. I guarantee you his life will never be the same tasting the big dance. What drives him now is because he has a vision. What should drive you now is that you have a vision, so now you got to live by revelation. This is a passport. It's not mine, although I do need to get one, because I'm believing God's going to let me preach all over the world, but I can't go all over the world if I ain't got no passport. Y'all riding here, y'all laughing at me, but some of you trying to do great things, and you ain't even got started on the way to get there. This is access. Now, I also got some issues. Anybody here got some issues? Raise your neighbor's hand, because they're not telling the truth in here. You got access to the world. Access. But you got issues. So every day I got to make a decision. In order for me to get this, am I going to choose this or going to choose this? So it's not just any longer about what I feel and what I don't feel. I'm driven by my vision, because if I keep doing this, this is little grenades, little fake grenades. I make sure I didn't open it till I didn't get in here. I ain't want nobody shooting me up and doing nothing like that. This is just these little fake little grenades. Here's the reality. I got to make a decision. Here's the reality. You never lose this. Your whole life you're going to have issues. You're trying to get rid of stuff, and it's just things that you're going to struggle with. Now, you don't have to do them. But I got to make a decision, because if I do this, it's going to cost me this. And you say, well, what about this? Well, the reason I don't do it is because it's outside of my vision. Some of you don't look at me. Just look straight ahead. You still can cuss real good. Your hands still work. You still can do underhand stuff. You can still do dirty stuff. You can still do low-down stuff. But if I keep doing this, I won't get to use this. And if I keep doing this, it'll lead to this. I'm not talking about jail. I'm talking about bondage. I'm talking about where you waste good opportunities, where you just watch the world go round for everybody else, but you can't experience it because you can't deal with your issues. But if I choose this, it's going to lead to this. And eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for me. But all I know is, Barbara, thank you for going on for the ride, because God's going to show us some incredible things. But if you choose this over this, you're going to be a frustrated person, because you'll know what you have inside of you. You'll know what God can do, but you'll never experience it because you can't work through your issues. That make sense in here? The next thing about this, your vision helps you to put away childish things through your daily decision. You can be a grown man or woman and still have a childish system that you need to put away. You've outgrown certain things, but you haven't made changes in life. Here's the thing about your childish system. If you don't put it away, it's going to put you away. God will put you in some great doors, and you'll ruin your own opportunities. You'll run good people out of your life. And here's the worst thing about value. Most people don't recognize value until they don't have something anymore. Now, your parents could be gone, and you're like, man, I had a good mama. Or you done ran off a bunch of women, like, man, I had a good wife. I had that she was a great person, and I just messed up her life. Recognize what God, I'm talking real good. Recognize what God has given you when he's placed it in your hands. Because if you don't put away your old system's going to put you away. The beginning of this scripture says what I need to retrain, and it's on the screen behind me. It says this: I talk like a child, I thought like a child, and I reason like a child. Once you get a vision from God and he changes your desire, you got to change the way you think, the way you reason, and the way you talk. So before Steve Harvey wrote his book, the Bible says you got to think like a man. It said, I thought like a child, so I got to switch it and think like a man. The Bible says as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Let me show you how it works. You think according to what you believe, all right? And you behave out of what you believe. You think according to what you believe, and you behave according to what you believe. Many of us are trying to change behavior, but you need to change what you believe. I'm on a prayer call every Friday, and one of the guys on the call every week, he's having challenges, and we say, what y'all need prayer for? He said, pray for my wife, because he was having a tough time his marriage. I'm like, dog, I am glad she is not on this call. So we would pray, and he was going through counseling. Just the other week, he stopped us and said, hey, I got a praise report. He said, I want to tell y'all what happened the other day in counseling. And I said, tell me what happened. He said, the counselor pointed out something to me that I didn't even realize I was doing to my own life. He said, he said that we always argue when things go real good, then all of a sudden we have just a dumb argument about something stupid that just sets everything back. And he said, the counselor showed me a lie that I believed. He said, when I was younger, my uncle told me, ain't nobody really happy in marriage. Them folks just faking. They just putting on, they got issues just like everybody else. And he said, I believed it. So when things were going too good in my marriage, I would subconsciously pick a fight because I didn't believe that anybody could be happy. Do we all got issues? Absolutely. But we choose to work through them. But he said, I believed a lie. Here's what I believe. You are either going to reduce yourself or increase yourself to what you believe. You got to change what you believe before you change what you behave. I believe that God is going to do incredible things in my life. I believe I'm going to be married for the rest of my life to her. I believe that this church is going to blow up. I believe that I am the head and not the tail. And because I believe that, I behave that way. What about the stupid stuff that you do? I don't keep doing it because that's not who I am. And I don't let my mistakes define me. I made a mistake, but I'm not a mistake. Do you believe that? Touch your neighbor and say, think like a man. Touch him again and say, think like a man. So you got to choose what you believe. Because if you believe a lie, you're going to live a lie. And you're going to be frustrated with life. So I believe the truth. The next thing is this. You got to reason like a man. Reason is the how you understand and comprehend stuff. Philippians 4 and 6 says this. Just listen to this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. You reason according to facts, and those facts trigger memories. Here's the thing about memories. Although you may not have it in your head right now, you never forget a memory. Never. They may come up subconsciously. You may have a child and all of a sudden remember something devastating that happened to you as a child that you had suppressed. You could be walking through the mall minding your own business, and they got all kind of new cologne out by Hugo Boss. They got Victor Roth. They got all kind of stuff. But you smell old 1982 Obsession, and all of a sudden you're not bothering. No, I mean, anybody remember Obsession in here? Bothering nobody, and you remember your eighth grade dance. You remember that first dude that called you ugly. You remember that person who violated your, you remember all those things, and you say, I forgot all about that stuff. Here's the reason why. Your memories are still there, but what God does, because you can never forget it, he takes the sting from the memory. He purges your conscience so you don't have to be mad for the rest of your life because of the things that happened to you. So now I begin to reason, because watch this, if I don't let God heal my memories, I will justify nonsense in my life. You ever seen somebody just look straight ahead? You ever seen somebody just walk around angry and bitter and negative all the time? And you try to, why are you so angry? Like, what is wrong with you today? Other day, I must have been fussing up a storm. Barbara said, are you having a bad day? I'm like, oh, I guess I am. But you can justify it and say that people wouldn't do stupid stuff, and if that wouldn't have happened, if they wouldn't have cut me off, I'd have to flip them off in the middle of traffic. If they knew how to drive, here's the reality. You will justify nonsense until you decide, this is killing me. This stupid stuff, although I got a right to feel this way, if I keep feeling this way, I'm going to destroy my life. You will marry a child system, and many of us are grown and loyal to the system of a child. And you can't defend what's killing you. Can somebody tweet that for me? Don't defend what's killing you. Don't defend what's destroying your relationships. Don't defend what's causing you to be broke. You got to learn how to process as an adult versus a child. Here's the thing, and I'll close out this point. Growing up is not fun. Man, I'm looking at Isaiah. Isaiah can sleep all day. I don't think he's worried about playing PlayStation, eating SpaghettiOs. Daddy, can you fry a bologna sandwich? You know I'm going to do it. And we put cheese on there, and we eat and fry. I'm like, man, that's what I'm talking about right here. Daddy, can man, he's having the time of his life. Can we go to the pool? It's the summer. He ain't got nothing to worry about. And I'm sitting there thinking, dog, I remember when I was a kid. I remember those days and not having to do good, just fish anytime I wanted to. Here's the thing. I got to have to grow up at some point. And if you don't process growing up right, you'll think it's the devil and it's God trying to get stuff out of you. I had an interview at one point in my life. Anybody had a job? Just going to be honest. Had a job, you hate it. I'm going to raise my hand for all you who didn't. Somebody said, I'm working it right now. I had a job when I lived in Philadelphia. I'm going to tell you how bad it was. It was, I mean, I would wake up and be like, oh, my God, I got to go in. And this depression would get on me. When I got off work, I wouldn't be happy. I'd be sad I got to go in the next day. I'm already thinking, y'all know what I'm talking about? Sundays would come, and I'd be like, Jesus. They'd be in church praising and worshiping. I'd be in there like, Lord, just do something. Save me by Monday. They had no idea. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And Barbara's job, we were not married at the time. She was living in Texas. Her job was going great. She was a public information officer for the Child Protective Services. And she was on getting interviews in a newspaper. She was calling me, Jason, I was just on Channel 4, and they interviewed me, and I said this, and the newspaper's coming tomorrow. I'm putting out newsletters. I'm like, so? I don't care. Little job. I just salty, throwing shade, because I hated my job. That was a year that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, and I was in my apartment by myself. and I was watching it, and the Barber Brothers were playing. I don't know which one, Rondé or Tiki, were out there playing. Dude had $1 million smile. Rondé was playing. His brother Tiki was on the sideline. Dude got $1 million smile. They were putting the camera on him. All the ladies just getting hot flashes, just watching him. Man, then dude cut up, my stomach getting big. I'm like, man, what is wrong? And all of a sudden, my right arm started to get tingly and numb. I said, oh, no. Not by myself. Nobody was in there. Nobody was in there but me. Watching, and my jaw started to have this radiating pain. I said, oh, no, I done read about this. I'm about to die. I said, God, help me. Barbara's in Texas, mom and daddy in Tennessee, and when they find me, I'm going to be stinking because I'm going to be dead. You know, when folks die, they sit there for a while, they get to stinking. I said, man, that's how they're going to find me. No idea that I had an anxiety attack because I was so consumed with the fact that I didn't like my job. Let me tell you how bad it was. I used to call mama on the way into work, or I would just call and say, mama, I can't stand this. You know it's bad when you get on your mama's nerves. Mama said, Jason, just praise God. Dog, mama, can you just get on my side? She said, I was reading this book. I don't know if she was reading this book or watching TV. She said, confess what you want your day to be. I said, I'm calling her. She's talking about this. She don't know what I'm dealing with. And the reality is, let me fast forward. I wanted to come back to Tennessee because I was in Philadelphia. We were about to get married. I interviewed for a job, and I got asked a question I'd never been asked before. It was the best interview I ever had, and I didn't get the job. And the guy said, are you running from something? I never got asked a question like that before. He said, we don't want anybody coming from another department where you've made a mistake, where you're trying to avoid something, and you're trying to escape it by coming here. And in that moment, I had to put away, because I was. My job wasn't that bad. I hated pressure. It wasn't that many of you, your situation is not bad. You just don't like being uncomfortable. And I had to identify what I was dealing with. I was trying to run from it. Can I tell you something? If you run from it, it's going to run after you. There are certain things in life that's called growing up that you got to face it head on. There are certain things that are not fun, mortgage, rent, electric, car notes. You riding clean, but ain't nobody paying that note but you every month. You need to believe God, we're going to pay this thing off or something like that. I mean, if you come home and that thing got split, it ain't just doing it by faith. You can't speak in tongues at EPB and all that. No, they're going to say, pay me my money. They don't want their money. Life as you get older ain't fun. But it's worth it. So I had to make a decision to put away. It wasn't long after that I came and got a job here that was perfect for me. Can I tell you what I was going to do? I was going to settle for a job that was 2 job bands lower than what I was just to escape the situation. Take a pay cut and everything because I was not comfortable. What are you running from because you're uncomfortable that God wants you to face? The last thing is this. You got to talk like a man. And I'm through. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You revise your expectation and your speech will change. Many of us are grown talking like children. Let me show you what happens. Y'all know anybody like that. Just look just straight ahead of me. Fear creates an image in your head. And that image creates an expectation. And then life provides you with a paintbrush and a tool called your tongue. And you begin to paint with your mouth what you see in your head. You don't like your job. I can't stand this job. Why are you so negative? You don't understand what I'm going through. And you begin to say everything that you see. But when you grow up, you talk in faith. Faith creates an image, although it don't look like it. When you drive up, you see that ramp. You see that parking lot. You see this building. But by faith, I'm going to speak, and we're going to see what God's going to do. Because my expectation that's in my head is not what I see. I see God changing what I'm doing. Here's what happened is my mom began to tell me that about my job. I said, you know what? I'm going to try it. So I begin to wake up every morning, and the scriptures, that's why I love it. It says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I would tell myself that on the train. I worked on the 18th floor, on the whole 18 floors up to my cubicle. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I got a email from a sales rep cussing me out. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Getting a call in the office by my boss, Jason, we got to sell something. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I chose to confess what I wanted to see versus what was going on right now. And guess what started to happen? My ranking in the company started to come up. My attitude started to changing. My mind started to work different. Why? Because I was operating in faith and not fear. Many of us are painting destruction in our life because you confess everything you feel. I don't like you. We can tell. It's written all over your face. You don't have to say a word. I don't want to be here. We knew that when you walked in. But here's what happens. When you change your attitude, there's a swagger in life that comes on you. Your talk is different. You're looking straight ahead. While everybody else is complaining, I ain't gonna be here forever. Because I'm gonna think like a man, reason like a man, and talk like a man. I'm three, stand to your feet all over the building.